Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I wish you a very pleasant day today. I will have to tell you that here in Pittsburgh, as we are recording today, the sun is shining, and it is just, it's a fantastic day. Now, I tell you all of that to tell you that the forecast calls for snow on Monday, so this is the joys of living in Pittsburgh. Listen, I joke about this all the time, but sometime in the middle, late February, early March, there is generally some mayhem that occurs in Pittsburgh because there's a giant ball of fire that appears in the sky and people are concerned that the world is coming to an end. And then we just realize, oh, that's the sun and we haven't seen it since sometime in November. But all of this being said, thank you for being with us today. I hope this is as enjoyable for you as it is for me. My guest today is Alicia Butler Pierre. She is the founder and CEO of Equilibria Incorporated, a 15-year-old operations management firm. She specializes in increasing bandwidth for fast-growing organizations via business infrastructure. Alicia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rob. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Oh, you bet. I'm delighted to have you. And I think about this. Here's my thing. We're talking to entrepreneurs, okay? That's our target audience. And I think so many entrepreneurs have this experience where they go into business and they have this thing that they want to do. You know, like, we'll just use me, for example, okay? I'm a speaker. That's what I do. I love to speak. I love to get in front of an audience. I love to share my passion. I love to share, you know, insight into what I've learned over the course of my life. But I'm in business. The side of running a business is not where my specialty is. That's not where my passion is. And that's kind of why I brought you on today, because I wanted to, how do you build that business side so that it supports the passion side? Does that make sense to you at all?
That makes absolute sense, because you're so right. And it speaks to what Michael Gerber talks about in his book, The E-Myth. The fact that, and for anyone who hasn't read or heard of the book before, the E stands for entrepreneur. And the myth is that just because you are good at a particular thing, for you, for example, in public speaking, doesn't necessarily mean that you have the managerial skills that are needed. You know, when you start thinking about the policies and the procedures and the regulations and the processes and the mechanics of what it takes to start the business and maintain it. And it also doesn't mean that you necessarily have the high overview, visionary, strategic thought that a true entrepreneur might have. You're just very good and skilled at what you do. So that makes absolute sense. And you know, as Michael Gerber says in his book, and I'm definitely plugging his book right now, but what he's getting at is that the majority of us who start our businesses, we're really just glorified technicians who are, you know, have a particular skill, or we know a particular craft, and we think because we are good at that skill or that craft that we can in essence create a highly successful business.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm definitely going to have to put a link to Mr. Gerber's book in the show notes, because it sounds like something that we should all be digesting. But
yes.
So I'm assuming, though, that you're not just working with startup businesses, that to say when you start your business, you have to develop the structure. But I'm guessing that there are many established businesses that are in need of that structure as well. So can you kind of give us some ideas as to what are the elements of creating a business infrastructure that are applicable both for new businesses and or established businesses?
Well, the way I look at business infrastructure, Rob, is it comprises seven key elements. But before I get into those seven key elements, I think it's worth pointing out, you mentioned that I probably work a lot with startups. It's actually the reverse. I work with primarily established businesses. And here's the reason why. And I'm so glad you said that, because it gives me the opportunity to speak to this. For most startups, and even we can think about when we started our respective companies, it was all about sales and marketing. It was about branding and promotion and publicity, social media, getting the word out about what we do and what we have to offer. Who wants to think about processes and systems and structure? That's the boring stuff, right? That's not the sexy stuff. So that's why what the work that I do tends to appeal to established companies, because those are companies that have they've been there and done that when it comes to their sales and marketing efforts, and they have a different type of problem. They are the recipients or the beneficiaries of great marketing and PR and branding, because they have a lot of people coming into their businesses, a lot of customers. And that's when they realize we have to look at our operations. We have to look at that business infrastructure. So to get to the seven elements, it always starts with asking the question, Rob, what work needs to be done? So the first element is what I call a job task analysis. And that's where you would, whether you're a startup or an established company, but you come up with this list of activities that need to be performed in your company, no matter how mundane or how complex, whether it's something that you have to do every day, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually. The idea is to get all of the information out of your head and onto paper.
Okay. Can I just ask quickly about that?
Yes.
So are you talking about the, I'm assuming the business side of things, that, you know,
correct.
Okay. So it's not that I'm not putting on the list the fact that I need to, you know, to get X number of speaking engagements in order for my business to work, but it's, I need to file like quarterly taxes. I need to make sure that I'm doing, you know, the business side of things. Can you just make sure that I've got a clear understanding on that?
No, that it's actually both. So
okay.
it's any task that needs to be performed. So what you just mentioned is what I would refer to as a KPI or a metric, a key performance indicator. For example, one of the elements, one of those seven elements, are your business processes. The how, the things that describe how to do certain things. So you might have a process that says, okay, this is my public speaking process. In general, this is what I do whenever I have a speaking engagement.
Okay.
And the metric or the way you measure the performance of how successful you were at performing that process could be what you just mentioned. How many speaking engagements did I actually book and fulfill within a 30-day period, you know, or each month? And right. You set a standard. You might say, okay, I need to have at least 10, you know, whatever that number is for you.
Sure.
And that is a metric that you can look at every month and really gauge your success and your performance against that metric.
Okay. Cool.
So those are two of the seven elements, you know,
okay.
the job task analysis piece. And what comes out of that job task analysis, Rob, are very detailed, very transparent job descriptions. That's always so helpful, because think about it. As our companies are growing, we realize we need to add to our team. But what are people supposed to do?
Right.
And if you haven't taken the time to actually define that, what usually ends up happening, the reason turnover becomes so incredibly high for fast-growing small companies, is because they haven't taken that time to really define what work needs to be done and how that work is to be performed. And that's that process piece that we just covered.
Okay.
Another element, a third element, is having an organizational chart. So I like to think of organizational charts as your company's vision board. So your organizational chart may not always necessarily reflect what your company looks like today, but what it could look like a year from now, 3 years from now. It's a very visual tool that you can use to kind of keep yourself grounded and make sure that you're always steering in the right direction. But it's also something that you can share with other people to let them know, hey, these are what my growth plans look like for my company. I may be a sole proprietor right now, but by the end of the year, I'm going to have a team of at least three people, just as an example. Two of the other elements have to do with your records management systems. So the way that you store information both digitally as well as physically. So those are some more elements. And then The last two elements have to do with how you actually physically arrange your workspace, and then how you actually deliver your process, or excuse me, how you actually deliver your service or your product. What are the methodical steps? For example, we can take your business again as an example. For a public speaking engagement, there are a series of things that you're doing, Rob, to prepare for that speech, to actually perform the speech, and then there's some post-speech activities more than likely that you're doing. Getting all of that spelled out, making sure it's streamlined, that you're leveraging the right technologies to really give a great experience for your customers or your clients, your audiences that you're speaking in front of. So those are the seven elements of what I call business infrastructure.
It makes so much sense. And it's really funny that you talk about that. The last one that you mentioned there, to me, is it's something that I kind of take for granted. But I was just in a training over the weekend, and they were talking about what is it that you do for the customer when you're doing a speaking presentation. And so a lot of times, you know, the customer, the client is saying, like, I'm paying you this amount of money to basically show up and talk for an hour. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. It's not just that I'm showing up to talk for an hour, but what happens beforehand? What I've got to do the phone calls to, I've got to customize the presentation. I've got to do travel. I've got to, you know, and then I'm there. And while I'm there, here's the things that I'm going to do while I'm there. And then after we're done, here are the thing. And so in having that understanding of what goes into a speaking presentation, it helps me in my marketing to customers and to clients to say, okay, I'm more than just a guy who shows up, does my thing, and then leaves. So let me just kind of back up and talk about something that you mentioned before. So you're working a lot more with established companies. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that when you're dealing with startups, one of the things that startups are looking for, startups are looking to get more customers.
Right, okay? Exactly.
Established businesses already have customers. And I'm assuming that plays into what you're teaching them and what you're working with them on. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. And again, it's very difficult to work with startups, I should correct myself. The types of startups that tend to be good for people like me to work with, people who have a focus on operations and business infrastructure, are well-funded startups. Okay. So usually, unfortunately, tech companies, they get all of the money, right, when they're in those very early startup stages. But because they are funded, they are expected to scale and ramp up their operations very quickly. So they know the value of having that business infrastructure in place, and it's not even a question or a debate as to whether or not it's something that they have to do. They know they have to do it because, again, there is that expectation for them to scale as quickly as possible. With established companies, you hit the nail on the head. They have the customers. They have a different type of problem. Some of them have more customers than they can handle. And that's when they realize, again, we need to hire more people. We need to have some processes in place. We need to have systems. We need to make sure we're leveraging the right technologies so that we are streamlining our production, streamlining the way we provide or deliver our service. It's a very different type of conversation.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I guess I need your help to kind of define some terms for me, okay?
Okay,
Because when you're talking about a startup, and startups are trying to grow their business, mm-hmm. and I think you mentioned the word scaling, okay? So what's the difference between a startup trying to grow a business and an established business trying to scale their business? Can you help me understand that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. I wish more people asked that question because, Rob... Some people tend to use the words grow and scale interchangeably. But to me, they're two different things. when you are growing, it's usually what usually is involved, again, from my vantage point, is you're trying to get more customers. And the way you get more customers is usually through sales and marketing related activities. When you start talking about scaling, to me, scaling implies more of an operations focus, because scaling is looking at the people, the processes, and the tools that are needed to go from, let's say, producing 10 widgets a day to 10,000 widgets a day. Marketing and sales aren't going to help you fulfill that kind of an order. It's the operations that will. And I wish more people, unfortunately, you know, operations doesn't get the shine that, you know, that marketing and sales gets, but it's so important. And sadly, there aren't a lot of resources out there for smaller companies that want to focus on their operations so that they can scale in a sustainable and profitable way. So I'm really glad you asked me that question.
Oh, okay. So kind of as a follow-up to that, you mentioned in there that, like, business operations, and this is a word you used earlier, it's not sexy, okay? I don't think, maybe you are the exception to the rule. There are very few people that are passionate
right.
about business operations. Okay.
I know.
How do you either convey that passion? How do you get people on board the train, or how do you at least make this an economically important part of the business so that people can understand that this is not just something that you have to do, but it's something that in doing, it's going to help your business become more profitable and is ultimately actually going to help you lessen your own workload and give you more clarity in what you're doing.
Okay. This is going to sound bad, but it's the reality. But I honestly have to use fear tactics a lot of times. So, you know, it's true. So what I have found to really be effective is when I share articles, and I always try to keep a list of very recent articles that I come across with these stories of companies that grew too fast. And again, they didn't take the time to look at their operations, and the company goes bust. I'll share a quick example. There was an ice cream shop in New York City, in Brooklyn in particular, specifically rather, and they were doing really well. Customers loved them. They were growing very rapidly, and they got the attention of Disney.
Nice.
And they signed a deal with Disney, and they could not fulfill the order. The whole company failed. So you think, well, how is it that this wildly successful company, very popular amongst its customers, great word of mouth marketing, and they attract a behemoth of a company like Disney, how is it that you fail? They weren't looking at what was going on, the things that are necessary behind the scenes, again, the not so sexy stuff, the things that require you getting into the nitty gritty details that people who tend to be visionaries don't want to deal with, the dotting of the I's, the crossing of the T's, making sure everything is prim and proper and up to code. That's the stuff that's ignored, unfortunately. And worst case scenario, it could lead to a business failing, even though it's making great money, it's profitable, and it has all of these customers, it can still fail.
Yeah. So, okay, you're talking about getting your T's crossed and your I's dotted. And when you talk business infrastructure, for most entrepreneurs, you just get their I's crossed, and that's where you end up. Okay. You're doing this, and basically what I'm hearing you say is wherever your business is, developing that infrastructure is something that you have to do even though it's not glamorous and it's not fun. So are there things that you can tell us, Lewis, listen, here are things that you should look for, and here are things that you should like avoid, and don't let people swindle you or snake oil salesman you, or don't get too concerned about these things. Kind of put your focus on this. Does that make sense as a question?
Yes. So I think one thing that I would like to share with your audience, Rob, is there's a one page document that I created, and it talks, I think the title is 29 must have processes that every small business should have. So regardless of what industry you're in, whether, or regardless of the type of sector, whether it's a nonprofit, a for-profit, you primarily work with government institutions, doesn't matter. These are processes that every company should have at a minimum. So, you know, those who are listening may be thinking, oh my gosh, how on earth do I even start? Use this list as a starting point, if nothing else. Something else that's really important to point out, and I think it came to the light, to the forefront, as a result of the pandemic in 2020, we were all forced to adopt these new digital technologies that we may have been using before, but we really had no choice but to use them last year. And here's what happened for so many of us. We started to invest in all of these different technologies without, one, understanding whether or not they can integrate with each other. And then, two, we didn't really understand the workflow. So you may have one tool here that performs X, another tool over here that performs Y, and then a third that performs Z, but those X, Y, and Z don't communicate with each other. So even though they're great in isolation, when you're looking at your entire process or workflow, it might actually add even more work and stress to what you are already doing. So that's something really big that I would caution people on. It's so easy to get caught up in these technologies because they're cool and it's really amazing to see the things that they can do. But always make sure before you make that investment, even if you're using a free version of something, make sure that it can integrate seamlessly with other technologies that you're already using.
Okay.
That's so key. And
I was just going to say. Okay.
And another thing.
Yep. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Just really a really quick point. I think something else worth mentioning is, and this is something I learned from Warren Buffett, actually. He said, you know, it's not the high dollar ticket items, however he put it, that you have to worry about as much as it is those smaller dollar amounts. So, this is just $4.99 a month, and this is $2.99 a month, and then that's $9.99. And you're thinking, oh, okay, this is great. It's low cost. But when you start to aggregate that, and you look at the total amount of money that you're spending every month on those digital technologies, trust me, those small amounts add up very quickly.
Yeah, you get, you know, the concept of death by a thousand paper cuts, right? Where you have all of these different little places where you're bleeding out money in your business.
Correct.
And you don't realize that all of them together are quite the drain on your business. The other thing I'm thinking about is all of the different technology that comes out. Okay, technology is cool. Technology is glamorous. Technology is, dare I say, sexy, right? Like the,
it is.
And yet you have to have that pragmatic understanding of how to use it. And there's also that side of it where you're kind of continuously chasing the next thing or the next new item. And it sounds to me like developing the structure, developing the processes is going to be what gives you the foundation to avoid that kind of just running this direction and that direction, depending on what the new item is and which way the wind is blowing.
That is such an excellent point. And I have another example to share even with that. So let's say, for example, if you are looking for a particular software to either replace something that you're currently using or to maybe automate something that you've never automated before, start to think of the key parameters, the key functions that that software at a minimum must be able to do. And if it can't meet those specifications, move on until you find something else. Just to give you an idea of what I mean by specifications, again, does it integrate with other technologies that you're using? We spent almost an entire year just trying to look for the right CRM solution, customer relationship management, because we wanted, there were certain things that we wanted to be able to do. And it was so weird, Rob, like one CRM solution might do 4 out of the 5 things. Another might do 1 out of the 5. It was like no one solution did everything that we needed. And of course you're not going to build something from scratch for that's just not in the budget, but sometimes you do end up having to make compromises. But at least you're making a decision from a point of understanding exactly what you need. And there's no shortage of people trying to sell you on their technologies. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm picking on the technology, the digital technology space or industry, but I'm using that as an example because so many of us can relate to that.
Definitely.
Yes.
So fantastic. Listen, Alicia, you have shared just a tremendous amount of information today, and I really appreciate that. If people are looking to get a hold of you, if they would like to download the 29 pieces paper, that where can they find that? Where can they find you? What's the best way?
Sure. So the best place to connect with me and to learn more about me is at my personal website, and that is aliciabutlerpierre.com. That's AliciaButlerPierre. And when you're there, you can actually see links to all of my social media profiles. You'll also be able to link up to my podcast, which is called the Business Infrastructure Podcast. I also have a link to my book. It's the world's first book ever written on the subject of business infrastructure. It's a true how-to book. So if there's something you heard in this interview that you really want to know a little bit more about and exactly how to implement it in your company, I definitely suggest you check out my book. It's called Behind the Facade. And then if you want to know more about my consulting company, there's a link to that there as well. For the 29 must-have processes for all small businesses, I can definitely send you a copy of that, Rob. I don't know if that's easier, but if people want to get to that right away, they can also go to slideshare.net and do a search for 29 must-have small business processes, and you'll definitely see it.
Okay. What I will do is, if you send me a copy of that, I will upload it to the show website, and people can just download it right from there.
Absolutely.
I'll put links to your website and to the rest of that all in the show notes so that people can connect with you and learn from you. So thank you so much. It is time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Who was your hero when you were growing up?
My dad.
Cool. How come?
It's funny how when you're a little kid, you see things so differently. So I thought at one point when I was a kid growing up back in Louisiana, I thought my dad literally knew every person in the world, because it seemed as though no matter where we went, he knew someone and he would speak to them. And I remember asking him one day, "Daddy, do you know everybody in the whole world?" And he looked me in my eye and he said, "Yes, baby, I do."
That's awesome.
But yep. He's also an entrepreneur. And so I just grew up watching my dad literally teach himself how to do things. And I've seen him dabble in carpentry, electrical work, running an accounting business. I mean, he's done a little bit of everything.
Excellent. What is something that will make you smile?
A baby laughing. Oh my gosh, how can you be upset when you see a baby just giggling and laughing and smiling back at you? I mean, that's a surefire way to get me smiling every time.
You know what? Just a public service announcement, right? If you're having a bad day, go on YouTube and just search for babies laughing. And if you can't get a smile on your face and if you can't laugh about it, you are truly missing out on something. So, all right. Alicia, last thing, you're from down south. I've got southern roots and southern family. What is the food that you would classify as this is kind of comfort food to me? This is food that says family.
Well, see, I'm from Louisiana, so I tell people all the time, Louisiana is very different from the rest of the South. We have our own culture, right?
Right.
So, any Louisiana dish, jambalaya, gumbo, etouffee, mock shoe, beignets, I mean, all of those things, anything that reminds me of home. And those are all dishes that are native to Louisiana.
Yeah, so jambalaya is phenomenal, and a properly done beignet. How do you argue with,
I know, I
French
know.
donuts, right? So fantastic. Alicia Butler Pierre, thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate you sharing, and I think that we've all learned a tremendous amount from you. You are indeed a smart person. For all my listeners, thanks for being here today. I hope that this has been not just fun, but I hope it's been informative for you, and I hope it's something that as you are looking at your business, that you're building some business infrastructure that's going to help you not to grow your business, but to scale your business to greater profitability. Thanks for listening, and I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.